Hello friends, welcome to VSchool again. We are on chapter 7 of Agri-Price Risk Management. The title of the chapter is Different Types of Agri-Commodity Derivatives. In this chapter, we are going to understand different types of agri-commodity derivatives. So, the first thing that we should know is, what is a derivative? Because we have already seen in the previous chapter, what are agri-commodities. Chapter 7 will introduce you to the basic concepts of derivatives as well as explain a wide variety of derivatives contracts. It will also specify which type of derivative contracts, whether it is a forward, whether it is a future, whether it is an option. It will also explain you where these contracts can be traded. We are having two major places where it can be traded. One is over the counter, second is the commodity exchange. So we are also going to understand what exactly you mean by over the counter as well as a commodity exchange. Commodity exchange we have already seen in our chapter number 5 and 6. That gives rise to two ways in which you can do a trade, that is at a spot rate and a future rate. So we are also going to understand what exactly is a spot, what exactly is a future. It will also help you to understand how derivative markets helps into price discovery as well as transferring of various risks, which is a very, very important aspect of agri price risk management. So let us first understand how a derivative market plays an important role in developing economy. Very number one, enabling market participants to channelize their savings into derivative segments. Number two, to transfer risk. Number three, create new products, innovative products, which will provide convenience for trading. Number four, creating new businesses, because we have seen the evolution of commodities market. It started with few, now many, many commodities are introduced. So that brings in more commodities in the market. It creates new employment opportunities because the variety of segments creates employment into different sectors. Investment in commodity also provides a hedge against inflation. So one doesn't have to bother about the price, what it would be tomorrow, because you have already made a hedging decision today. For making any trade with derivatives contract, we have different tools for doing the trading. These tools are different flavors of contracts, which can be a forward contract, which can be a futures contract, which can be an options contract, which can be a swap, which can be exchange of futures for physicals. It can also be traded average price option. It can also be contract of differences. Now let us understand where all can such derivative contracts can be traded. As I said before, it can be traded at two prominent places. One is the over-the-counter and organized commodity exchange. So this over-the-counter we are listening in this chapter for the first time maybe. So let us understand what is an over-the-counter. In the over-the-counter, the trading happens not generally at a physical location. There is no physical location to trade, but the deals are done through telephones or through electronic media, specifically between two contracting parties. So whenever the traders, the buyers and sellers know each other, they don't have to go to a stock exchange or a commodities exchange, wherein large number of buyers and sellers would be there. So an arrangement between two, a bilateral arrangement between two is better preferred at over the counter. So that is the specific feature of the over the counter transaction. But if the traders want to deal with a larger segment of buyers and sellers so that a good price can be fetched, then obviously one has to go to a commodities exchange, which we have seen in chapter number 5 and 6. Now, what does a derivative market actually do? A derivative market helps in improving price discovery. Best price can be fetched. Number 2, it can transfer various risks. Number 3, it removes the hassles of cumbersome physical trading of commodities. So you don't have to literally transport huge commodities just by the trade. The ownership or the interest can be transferred. It can be taken delivery from some warehouse, but actual physical delivery transportation from one place to another may not be necessary. Now let us understand OTC in detail. OTC derivative markets are represented by the banks, by the financial institutions, by the hedge funds, by the corporations, as well as the high net worth individuals. Because these are very big ticket transactions between bilateral parties, they don't require a huge market because a huge market may not be capable of taking such huge transactions. But these big players definitely can deal into big tickets, and that's why they are the main participants of the OTC. Since lesser players are there, a larger regulation may not be required. Hence, this is less regulated in comparison to commodity exchanges which have huge ownership, which have huge participants. OTC derivatives contracts are tailor-made to suit specific requirements of dealing counterparties, unlike the standardized form of the commodities exchange. OTC can have a customized, both parties can decide what type of contract they are going to enter into. Such things will not happen in case of a commodities exchange, wherein the commodity exchange decides about the specifications of the contract. Most of it are standardized. OTC derivative contracts have higher counterparty risk in comparison to agri commodities exchange. This is also very important to understand. When we say higher counterparty risk, since the parties are few, the parties may know each other, but there is always a risk of default. In case of some unfavorable circumstances, which can never happen in case of a commodity exchange, because the settlement is guaranteed by the exchange. So either party need not worry. Once the trade is executed, the settlement will always happen under the oversight of the exchange. Then there is no centralized limits on individual positions. One can take whatever leverage, which in case of a commodity exchange may not be so. There will be some restrictions. There will be some limitations. Since it is not regulated, there are no formal rules, mechanisms for risk management to safeguard the interest of market participants in case of an OTC market. So friends, one have to understand these important features of an OTC market, which helps us to clearly distinguish it from the commodities exchanges. Let us see some important features of commodity exchanges once again. Commodity exchanges, unlike OTC market, have a formal centralized limits on individual positions, leverages, as well as margins. Commodity exchanges have formal rules or mechanisms for risk management to safeguard the interest of the market participants. Commodity exchanges, the settlement happens through a clearinghouse, clearing corporation, and here this clearinghouse, clearing corporation, whichever is the party concerned, it guarantees the contract performance and settlement of transactions. So either party don't have to worry about the settlement aspects. The exchange traded derivatives are quite liquid and have low transaction cost. Because of the larger participants, the transaction cost is minimal. Because most of the things happen electronically, the transaction cost is minimal. Unlike OTC, the transaction cost may depend upon where they meet, how they meet, what transactions do they make. Now, let us understand about traditional open outcry system of derivatives trading. In that scenario, there was no electronic settlement. There was no screen-based trading. It was purely the members of the exchange which come together. They would raise their voice. It would be an open outcry for attraction. The dealing would happen between those who would like to execute. But that has been termed as a traditional. There were some deficiencies into it. As of today, it has been totally replaced by electronic trading system, which has more transparency, which is instantaneous, which is real time, liked by all the traders. It is not only having electronic trading, but it is supplemented by algorithmic trading, automated trading, high frequency trading. And in nowadays, you also have artificial intelligence in the form of your robot training also. So all sophisticated technologies are used into electronic trading to make it more seamless and ubiquitous. So now, friends, having understood basic derivatives market, now let us go into more deeper aspect, starting with basics of derivatives. So the first question comes, what exactly is a derivative? In fact, if you refer dictionaries, the word derivative simply means to derive. Derive means it doesn't have a fixed value. It will be derived on the basis of certain underlying, certain aspect. So if you have to define a derivative in terms of commodities market, we can define a derivative as a contract. That contract has no fixed value because its value is derived from the value of another asset, which may keep on changing. And this another asset on the basis of which the value of the derivative is derived is called as the underlying. And this underlying can be a share, a stock market, an index, an interest rate, a currency, or even an agri commodity. We are going to see more and more details about this. For right now, you try to understand a basic definition of derivative. Very important point. It is a contract. However, the value is derived from an underlying. And this underlying can be any sort of security, which can be a stock, which can be an index, which can be an interest rate, which can be a currency, or which can even be a commodity. Let us understand this by an example. Suppose a farmer enters into a contract with an agent to sell his sugar cane after 3 months, but his contract is entered today. The farmer doesn't know what would be the price after 3 months, neither the agent who actually agrees to buy sugarcane from the farmer today. The agent doesn't know what would be the price tomorrow. In spite of this uncertainty, they agree at a price. The value of that contract would vary with the price of the sugarcane. So a tentative price is booked as of today, but the value will keep on changing based on the value of the price, which keeps on going up and down. The contracts of this nature are called as derivatives. And when we talk about underlying, the value is based on certain underlying. In this particular example, your underlying is sugarcane, which is the primary asset whose value will decide the value of the contract. So in the previous slide, we saw what exactly a derivative is. We saw an example of a derivative. Now let us understand why a derivative is used. A farmer is engulfed with different types of risk. He don't know what price his crop will fetch after the harvest is really to be taken out of the field. It becomes essential to manage risk. Whatever may be the price, he should fetch a desired price. So he stays on the focus on the optimum return for fulfilling his financial goals, because what input cost would be there, based on that a profit margin, based on that his desired goal should be fulfilled. That is the basic objective of a farmer. So how does a farmer manage his risk? The risk-averse farmers as well as investors always look for transferring risk or minimizing the risk. Derivatives exactly help the farmer to do this. And this balancing of risk is called as hedging, which we will see in a separate chapter in this book. Both farmers and investors use derivatives to hedge risk and trade. Basically, hedging is to offsetting a risk which may come in the future. Now, responsible for derivatives market emerging as major force in financial market. Why did the derivative market emerge at all? And why did it emerge in the early 1970s? What were the reasons? Number one, failure of Bretton Woods system. Number two, breaking of the fixed exchange rate regime. Number three, new exchange rate regime. Number four, new pressure of demand and supply on different currencies. Number five, exchange rates constantly changing. Number six, business firms faced a new risk. And finally, new instruments in the form of derivative was developed to overcome the risk. And this is the chronology in which emergence of derivative markets for different reasons happened. Some investors, traders have a big question. Can derivatives be used for making profits? Derivatives can be used to make profits from the volatility on prices of agri commodities. Like speculators use price movements to make short-term profits. Arbitrageurs derive profit from differences in prices of assets in two different markets. So even though we say primarily derivatives used for hedging, speculators and arbitrageurs can also derive profits out of derivatives. Having now understood what a derivative is and how the derivative markets have emerged, is derivative market established in India? Is derivative markets evolved in India? So this slide will explain you all that. Derivative markets in India is believed to be in existence since the ancient times. So this is an important note you have to make. It is not that India did not have a derivatives market. In fact, it had a derivative market since the ancient times. When I say ancient times, you will have references of derivatives during the Chandragupta Maurya period in Kautilya's Arthashastra. Futures market in organized form appeared in the late 19th century, especially with the advent of British rule. The first organized futures market was established in 1875 by the Bombay Cotton Trade Association to trade in cotton contracts. The futures trading in oilseeds was started by the Gujarat Vyapari Mandali in 1900 in Mumbai. The futures trading in raw jute and jute goods began in Calcutta in 1919. So we find various references of derivative markets across Bombay, Kolkata. Indian derivative market is considered to probably amongst the safest in the world because the default rate is to a lesser extent compared to some of the global markets. The derivative markets has a larger market share than the stock market. Stock market is known to many. Derivative market is known to few. In spite of that, the market share of derivative market is bigger than the stock market in terms of the underlying assets. And as we have seen in the previous chapters, there is a sole regulator in the form of SEBI for the derivatives market. And SEBI is doing a good job for vigilance and stops any manipulations or mishaps happening in the derivatives market. Is the government of India pro for a derivatives market? What are the government policies on derivatives market? In fact, with coming up of the Indian Constitution, the futures trading was placed in the union list, which means central government has powers to make regulations on it. And basis on that, the government of India had banned futures trading in commodities by enacting two legislations in the form of Forward Contract Regulation 1951, Securities Contract Regulations Act 1952. The basic reason for taking such a banning step was to prevent speculation on agricultural produce prices. To go a step further, in April 1999, the government of India declined to remove all the commodities from the restrictive list of futures trading. Government also allowed setting up of new modern demutualized national-wide multi-commodity exchange with investment support by public. So this was the first positive step into development and growth of the derivative market in India. There are two major classes of derivatives: commodity derivatives and financial derivatives. Basically, commodity derivatives comprises of agri products, energy products, metals as underlying assets. In case of financial derivatives, currency, stock, market index, interest bearing securities, these all come under financial derivatives. According to the Securities Contract Regulation Act, the term derivative includes a security derived from a debt instrument, share, loan, whether secured or unsecured, risk instrument or contract for differences, or any other form of security. It also includes a contract which derives its value from the prices or index of prices of underlying securities. If we want to get an exhaustive list of commodities, we can classify commodity derivatives into agriculture, livestock, energy, precious metal, industrious metal, financial derivatives, soft commodities, spices, oilseeds, fibers, and pulps. Rice, wheat, maize, oats, chana, etc. are examples of agri-commodities. Hogs, pork, bellies are examples of livestock. Crude oil, ethanol, natural gas, gasoline, etc. are examples of energy. Gold, platinum, palladium are precious metal. Well, aluminium, steel, copper are industrial metals. We have already seen financial derivatives include stock indexes, currencies. Soft commodities include sugar, cocoa, coffee. Spices are paper, turmeric, jeera, coriander. Oil seeds include castor seed, mustard seed, refined soy oil, etc. Fibers have cottons. And pulp includes your lumber and rubber. Derivatives can be classified into two main types: basic derivatives and complex derivatives. When we talk of basic derivatives, the forward contracts, futures contracts, option contracts, warrants and convertibles are included into basic derivatives, whereas complex derivatives include your swaps and other exotic non-standard contracts. Now we'll understand trading of commodities in the spot market. Basically, the spot market means the financial instruments are traded at the current trading price. So anything that is traded at today's price, we call it as a spot market. Spot trading can happen between two parties, that is OTC or even on a commodities exchange. Spot trading through spot exchanges can be cash trade, a spot trade, or even a weekly trade. These are weekly trade. These are different flavors of a spot trade. Spot exchanges, upon trading and clearing members, market participants place their buy or sell orders, trading and clearing members. Spot market enables better price discovery due to the different flavors of the spot trades. A step further, something different than a spot contract is a forward contract. As we have seen before, forward contracts are customized, not standardized like a futures contract on a commodity exchange. So forward contracts are customized contracts between two parties to buy or sell an asset at a certain time in the future for a certain price. The settlement takes place on specific date in the future at today's agreed price, unlike the spot price which happens today itself. It is generally traded over the counter outside the exchange, and here the participants may have to suffer counterparty risk because it is done bilaterally between two parties. The payoff, rise in the price causes an equal gain and a decline in the price causes an equal loss. That's the way the payoff works in case of a forward contract. So if you have to understand the basic features of a forward contract, you can say forward contracts are bilateral contracts exposed to counterparty risk. Each contract is custom designed. One of the parties take a long position by agreeing to buy the asset at a certain future date, whereas the other party assumes a short position by agreeing to sell the same asset at the same date at the same specified price. The specified price in a forward contract is referred as the delivery price. Derivative assets can often be contracted from the combination of underlying assets. A contract has to be settled by delivery of assets on the expiration date. Forward contracts are very popular in foreign exchange market as well as interest rate bearing instruments. So now let us understand with an example why a forward contract is valuable in hedging. Let us take an example of a wheat farmer. A wheat farmer can sell his harvest at a known price so that he is not bothered about what the price exists in the future. Similarly, the bread factory also wants to have a price fixed for what is he going to buy in the future so that his profits would be stabilized. It won't be affected because of the volatility. So what does a bread factory do? Bread factory can buy a bread forward from the farmer to assist his production without the risk of price fluctuations. In the same way, both the farmer also benefit, the bread factory also benefit. That is the beauty of a forward contract. Forward contracting is very valuable in speculation also. We have seen speculation basic intention is to make profit. They can carry a bit long. For example, a speculator keeps a close watch on the demand and supply situation in the market and has information that would be an upturn in the price. So he's seeing an uptrend. Based on his research, he can go long on the forward market instead of a cash market. So what happens? The speculator go long on the forward, wait for the price to rise and then take a reversing transactions and make a profit. So this is how a speculator can use a forward contract for making profits. So friends, like even if a speculator wants to make a call, make a forward contract, he needs to have some understanding about what a forward price would be. So how do we derive a forward price? The forward contract pricing is based on a cost of carry model. So what is the cost of carry model? The cost of carry model considers the time value of the underlying exposure along with adjustments for cost, namely storage, insurance, etc., benefits, accretions, dividends, etc. So all the recurring costs would be added, all the benefits would be deducted. That will help us to derive a future price. So forward pricing is equal to a spot price plus net carry cost of the underlying from the contract date till the maturity. When we say net carrying cost, whatever the dividends, whatever the benefits, that would be deducted from the cost so that the net carrying cost should be added to the spot price. That is how we actually calculate a forward price. So let us now understand what a futures contract is. We have seen a forward contract is always done bilaterally, it is customized. Unlike a forward contract, a futures contract is done on an exchange, it is standardized contract. A futures contract is an agreement between two parties to buy or sell an asset at a specified time in the future for a specified price. But the most important and unique point of a futures contract, it is always transacted on a commodity exchange. The terms of agreement such as the quantity of asset, the quality of asset, the delivery date, the period, the delivery location, everything is specified in the contract. A futures contract. There is no counterparty risk as all trades are guaranteed by the clearing corporation. So both the buyer and the seller are assured that whatever transaction they are entering into will be executed and settled, unlike in case of a forward contract. The basic feature of a futures contract is it has a standard specification in terms of quantity, quality, date, month, units of price quotation, location of settlement, etc. Second important feature is exchange. Clearinghouse gives a guarantee of the performance of the contract. Third important point is settlement price is used to compute the profit or loss. Daily settlement and margin requirement to act as a collateral security and minimize risk of failure of either party is required. Margins are required. Expressed in currency units so that it is clarity of the value of the contract. It is settled in cash by having a short or long position. It is executed on expiry date. And most important, these are regulated by the commodity exchanges. So can trading in future happen in case of speculation and arbitrage like a forward contract? Buyers of future contract are considered to have a long position. Sellers are considered to have a short position. This is in general. A margin of 5% to 15% of the contract value is taken from both the parties in case of a futures contract and monitored on a daily basis so that the exchange is having sufficient money in case either party defaults. As the contract approaches its expiry, the spot price and future price would converge. So the price that is agreed gets executed and settled. Like we saw, a forward contract pricing is done on a cost to carry model. How does the pricing of futures happen? Futures are priced on the basis also on cost of carry. Higher the interest rate, higher the cost of carry. Longer the contract period, higher the cost of carry because the cost keeps on increasing. The dividends received will be reduced because we want the net price, cost less any benefits. So benefits in the form of dividends will be reduced to get the net cost. So here again, we can have a formula for this. Future price is equal to spot price plus cost of carry minus inflows or the benefits. There are different types of futures market due to different situations. The two major worth specifying are the contango and second is the backwardation. What do you mean by contango? Contango simply means forwardation at a premium. It basically means a situation where a futures price of a commodity is higher than the anticipated spot price at maturity of the contract. Exactly opposite is the backwardation market where futures price is below the spot price for a particular commodity. So both these situations can happen in a real market. We also have a theory called expectation theory of futures pricing. The expectation theory of future pricing states that the future price is a reflection of the future spot price and not the current price, because it is always what the price would prevail in the future, but definitely this future pricing is based on the spot price. The expectation theory aims to help investors make decisions based on the forecast of the future interest rates. The future spot price is based on the expected demand and supply situation and perceived risk and not alone on the cost of carry. This is very important to be noted in case of an expectation theory. It is based on expected demand and supply situation. So there is no static figure. The pure demand and supply will decide, the perceived risk will decide over and above the cost and carry. So this is a more comprehensive way of pricing a future. The expected rate of return will depend upon the risk-free rate of return and the risk premium based on the risk perceived. So what is a futures payoff matrix? Futures contracts have linear or asymmetric payoff, that is the losses as well as profit for the buyer and the seller follow a straight line and unlimited. The break-even point of the investor would also involve the transaction cost. Futures are highly geared as it does not require holding of an underlying instrument. So friends, with this we cover the basic derivatives, contracts, the futures and the forwards. There is one more, that is an option which we have a separate chapter. So based on what we have studied in this chapter, we can have a clear-cut differentiation between a forward contract and a future contract in terms of specific basis. Like if we consider the difference on basis of trade, a forward contract is traded on over-the-counter, a futures contract is always traded on a commodity exchange. On the basis of marketplace, forward contracts don't have any physical markets. It is generally done through telephones or electronic medias, whereas a futures contract is done to a centralized exchange platform. In terms of a forward contract, there is no standardization. The contracts are customized. In case of a futures contract, contracts has to be standardized. When you talk in terms of a valuation, there is no standard valuation because it's a bilateral part contract. In case of futures contract, valuation done on mark to market, we have seen margins have to be brought by both parties. In case of forward contract, the market participants are always two parties, generally two parties, bilateral. Whereas in case of a futures contract, any buyer and seller that is connected with the exchange can participate into trading. In terms of contract maturity, both parties decide the tenure for which the contract has to run, whereas in case of a exchange created futures contract, the maturities are decided by the exchange itself. In terms of contract term, forward contracts can be customized, futures always standardized. In terms of regulations, there is no regulation as such. Both are, the forward contracts are self-regulatory. Whatever the bilateral agreement happens, that becomes a regulation for both to follow. In case of a futures contract, exchange imposes standards and regulations. If these are violated, there can be penalties also. In case of delivery and settlement date, these are again mutually decided between two parties. In case of a futures contract, maturity dates are fixed by the commodity exchanges. So friends, this brings out a very, very clear distinction between a forward contract and a futures contract. We have some more differences, some more bases which can further differentiate a forward contract and a future contract. For example, the counterparty guarantee. It is provided by clearinghouse in case of a futures contract. There is no guarantee from external party. Whatever the counterparty provides guarantee to each other, if one defaults, the other ones have to bear. But in case of a futures contract, the counterparty guarantee is guaranteed by the exchange. In case of a forward contract, there is a less liquid. If the other party doesn't pay, the value is stuck. In case of a futures contract, it's more liquid because exchange guarantees the transactions. The liquidity is maintained. In case of a forward contract, you don't require any margin because there are no regulations. In case of a futures contract, a margin is required. Settlement happens at the end of the period in case of a forward contract. In case of future contracts, there is a daily settlement. Forward contract, same counterparty with whom it was entered into, whereas in case of the futures contract, the swearing off happens with any member of the exchange. Forward contract, counterparty risk exists. Futures contract, there is no counterparty risk because it is guaranteed by the exchange. So friends, this chapter has clearly established what a derivative means, how derivatives are useful, what are the different markets where the derivatives are traded, as well as what contracts are used for doing derivatives trading. When we say what contracts, we have covered the forwards and futures. We are going to cover options also in the next chapters. So with this, we complete this chapter. We'll move to the next chapter. Thank you.